Amen. We are in Hebrews 4, the final part of Hebrews 4 tonight, one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture regarding our access to God's throne in heaven in prayer through the blood of our Savior. So we'll look at verses 14 through 16 this evening. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So tonight we talk about the throne of grace. Let's pray. Give us wisdom, Lord. Work a miracle in each of our hearts through your powerful word. Thank you that we could be here together. We love you and commit this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So he starts by reminding us that because we have a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, these things are possible. Access to the throne is possible. The primary theme of the book of Hebrews is the high priesthood of Jesus Christ. The word priest is in this book 37 times. And we'll see more as we get to chapter 7 and 8. But because, he's saying, seeing then, or because we have a great high priest that is in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ is interceding for us in heaven. And Hebrews talks a lot about his high priesthood. We'll just quickly look at a couple scriptures. Look at chapter 6, verse 20, where the Bible says, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made in high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. And then chapter 7, verse 26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And chapter 8, verse 1, now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne in the majesty in the heavens. And so what the writer is saying is because we have Jesus Christ, our forerunner, the one who's in heaven interceding for us for now as our high priest, verse 14, let us hold fast our profession. We can. What he's saying is because we have Jesus, because he is our high priest, we can hold fast. And most of you know chapter 12, but let's look over there quickly. Verse 2, what it's telling us is that we at any time can look to the Lord Jesus Christ for the grace to help, the grace to get us through, for the grace to hold fast our profession. Notice Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's Jesus Christ. And we need to be constantly looking unto him that we might hold fast our profession. Now in verse 15, we are reminded that Jesus Christ is a very unique priest, not only in the fact that he is God, but also in the fact, this is a very important doctrinal verse, verse 15, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ completely understands every single temptation that we could face. Because according to God's infallible word, Jesus Christ, while he was on earth, experienced every possible temptation that man could face. Notice it says, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points. That's important. All points tempted like as we are. The Lord Jesus Christ therefore understands from a personal perspective. Yes, he came to the earth to essentially die for our sins, but he also came to the earth to understand us better. And what it's saying is that Jesus, as our high priest, if you look at chapter 2, verse 18, he is able to be more of a help for us or more of a blessing to us because he can relate. Notice 2:18, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He's able to help us. That word is an old word that means to help. Jesus Christ, because he understands, because he went through the temptations, that makes him a great, wonderful high priest. But he's also unique in that, unlike every other priest that ever lived, he never sinned. Every other priest is a sinner himself. You look at the Old Testament, all the priests, the Aaronic priesthood, even the Melchizedek priesthood, every priest that's ever been assigned by God to be a priest is a sinner. We're priests. We're sinners. But Jesus Christ, as it says here in verse 15, yet without sin. He's the only priest that is sinless. The Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians 5:21, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus Christ never knew sin. Yes, He faced every temptation that we can face, but He never sinned. He is the sinless one, the sinless priest. So, knowing these things, that we have a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, that He never sinned, but He completely understands the temptations that we face. Knowing all of these things, verse 16, let us therefore, that's always an important word, because we have a sinless high priest, because He understands our sin, because He is perfect, let us therefore come boldly. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, where the Bible talks about this access that we have been given through Jesus Christ to none other than God's throne. Ephesians 2:18 says, "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Through Him we have access. This is why the unsaved can pray and pray and pray. They're never going to get an answered prayer. The only prayer that they'll ever get answered is the prayer of salvation. But every other prayer, God can't answer it because it's not reaching God. Because they don't have access to His throne. Only those who have the blood of Jesus Christ have access to the throne of God. And the Bible says, we can come boldly. What a word to use. Think about that. That we have access to the Holy of Holies. And we can come boldly. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The unsaved can't come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, in the Old Testament, in the Holy of Holies, there was what was called the mercy seat. It was called that for a reason. It was representative of the throne of God. God's seat is the mercy seat. Because God is a merciful God. And where there's really two things in this, there's the mercy and there's the grace. The mercy is the negative side, where God pardons, where God forgives, where God rescues us from our sin. The grace is the positive side, where God justifies, where God transforms us. Both are involved in our salvation. We're sinners. When we get saved, God forgives the sin, that's the negative side, through His mercy. But then He goes beyond that and justifies us and makes us perfect through Jesus Christ and gives us access to His grace, which is an amazing thing when you think about it. So there's always mercy available at the mercy seat, which is the throne of God. So we always have access to God's mercy and God's grace. Always have access to His forgiveness, right? If we confess our sins, He is faithful to us to forgive us our sins, and then always have access to get the grace that we need to be what we need to be for God. And That's the grace of God. Go to Romans chapter 5. We'll look at a couple scriptures about this amazing grace that is available to us at the throne of grace. What an interesting description of God's throne. The throne of grace. Let's never forget, God's throne is the throne of grace. Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. There's more grace than there is sin. That's what it's telling us. Because there's a lot of sin in the world, isn't there? There's a lot of sin that was in our lives before we were saved. God says that there's more grace than there is sin. There's a verse in James 4. One of our praises song comes from James 4, 6, which says, He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. More than what? More than whatever the situation warrants. We need grace when we suffer. We need grace when we're tempted. We need grace to live for Christ and do right. We're even going to need grace if God gives us a deathbed. We have what's called dying grace. I don't think we have it now. But if we find ourselves in that situation, God will give us the grace. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs, these people that died praising the Lord in the midst of amazing suffering and torture. How could they do that? That's the grace of God. It's always there. It's always available. Go to 2 Corinthians 12. The Apostle Paul found this out in the midst of his own trial and suffering. He came to God and asked God to remove the suffering. And what God said instead was, instead of removing the suffering, I'm going to give you grace to deal with it. Isn't that interesting? 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, well, let's start at verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God said to Paul, I'm not going to take away the thorn, but I will give you the grace to deal with the thorn. Interesting. The throne of grace is available to every believer in Jesus Christ through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we'll see more of this when we get to Hebrews 7, Hebrews 8, which talks about the holy place, the holy of holies, which in the Old Testament the high priest could only enter into once a year. And he had to be a descendant of Aaron. He had to be a direct descendant of Aaron. He had to be appointed the high priest. Once a year he went in and made sacrifice for the people. We can go there anytime, day or night. Isn't that amazing? And that's what God meant when Jesus died on the cross. And the Bible says the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. That was God saying that access to the Holy of Holies is now no longer restricted by this curtain. Now we can go straight into the Holy of Holies through the blood of Jesus Christ. Old Testament saints couldn't do that. But we can. To find the grace to help in time of need. Are we going to have needs? All the time. And they're going to come in many different forms. We need grace, like I say, to go through suffering. We need grace to stand when we're challenged. We need grace to face persecution. We need grace to be the kind of Christian God wants us to be. We need a lot of grace. But He giveth more grace. Praise the Lord. And you know, David wrote about this. He didn't use the word grace, but he even talked about, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. In other words, God will even give grace if I have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. His grace is always there. So we at any time, day and night, can come boldly, not squeamishly, but boldly, under the throne of grace, not because we're anything special, but because we have Jesus and because we have His blood applied to our account. As we read there in Ephesians chapter 2, we have access through Christ. Later on in Hebrews, we're going to see where God actually refers to Jesus. He likens Jesus to the veil, His flesh to the veil, because He became that access to the Holy of Holies that we might, as it says, obtain mercy. We need to do that every day. Come to the throne and say, Lord, I sinned. I was wrong. I need your forgiveness. And we need to come constantly for the grace to face life. And that takes a lot of grace, but praise God, He giveth more grace. So let us come boldly, the Bible says. Why? We have a great high priest. The Lord Jesus Christ is there interceding for us in heaven. He's shed his blood for us. That blood's applied to our account. He's now interceding for us individually in heaven. He understands every temptation we can ever face. He faced it. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace.